All right, so once again, I'm going to try to tone down on the frequency of uploads onto the channel. I really got to start putting more energy into other items that I originally wanted to, which is hunting and angling. And I have a bunch of projects on the go, many, numerous. And what did I do? I did it for a month or 2 months. I tried to get an email or three shared with you guys every day of the month. And I look back, that was a lot of time, right? It was a lot of time. So I think we'll probably get back to the program of maybe preloading one up for every few days, which they all get preloaded anyway when I put them on. So meaning that, what I'm meaning is I'll load like four or five at a time in one evening, and then you can program what day and what time it launches to you guys. So I've been doing that, and even then it's still a significant time, pile of time. So I'm going to try to thin them out and get them loaded up back, whatever. I'll put a video out every two or three days, all right? And we'll still put all the audio up on the audio versions up on the podcast route until we get our platform built, and then it's going to be hammer time. And we're not going to hold back anything and let it rip and say exactly what we want and share exactly what we have to share, no matter what. It's going to be exciting. In the meantime, here we go again. I gotta get out of here, man. I've been here for a little bit. Hello, Steve. I'll keep this as short as possible. My name's Kevin. I live in northern Wisconsin, close to the MN border. MN, Minnesota. Right? I'm 57 years old. I own a pest removal business. And that's the reason for this email address. About 20 years ago, I made a trip to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I went hiking on one mountain somewhere around there. I'd never been to the mountains before, so it was an exciting adventure. No doubt. That would be crazy, never being to the mountains before. I couldn't even imagine it. I had my family with me, wife and two small kids. I carried a .44 mag revolver. We walked only on wide logging or service roads. I stopped at every DNR station and talked to rangers. I was like a sponge, looking for any information, mostly big game hunting if I ever moved there. I never did. I told one ranger that I had my revolver along and said to him, "How will you feel if I have to use it on a bear or a cat?" He said, "Do whatever you have to do, but if it was me, I'd be more worried about the two-legged ones than the four-legged ones." I always presumed that he meant people, as I later found out that a lot of anti-government survivalists have been camps in that area. I've always been interested in Bigfoot and always believed they existed since seeing the documentaries as a kid. I don't think that I've ever gave them a thought while in Idaho hiking. Now, after watching a lot of your stories, I started thinking maybe that's what the ranger meant. I sure wish that I'd asked him then and there, but I just thought he meant humans. To be clear, he didn't say to shoot two-legged ones, just be worried about them. Thanks for your YouTube channel and all the work you put into it. Okay, man. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for that email. I don't know. Who knows? Not too many government employees boast openly of knowledge of these beings publicly. They just don't. They're all indoctrinated into them. I shouldn't say that. But they are deep in the program, right? They have their bosses who control them absolutely. On average, not every one of you guys. All right, here we go. What do we got? Dear sir, I wish to send you this document that I wrote immediately after the event so I could write with accuracy and clarity. I'm a huge fan of your videos. I'm a 67-year-old semi-retired oil field geologist, and I'm sending you this while in a 10-day quarantine in preparation for working in Suriname, North America. 10-day quarantine in preparation for working in Suriname, South America. I spent my whole life hunting and fishing and lived to elk hunt and will continue to do so until I must crawl up the mountains and roll back down. I've had 5 other run-ins with these creatures over the years, but only one clear visual sighting. One of my sons has had one peek into the open windows of the wall tent. When I tell my story to the younger generation, they think I'm crazy. Well, I tell it to the old seasoned woodsmen and they are not surprised. My old grandfather was a timber cruiser and cryptically told me years ago, never go in the woods unarmed because something is always watching. Side note, to make this weirder, the next year I went back the same place to view the structure, which is still there. Then I went to the sighting Then I went to the siding and found a dead mule deer. The deer was gutted and the lower legs removed. I found no bullet or arrow. The gutting was done with a knife. There was no gut pile or even blood stains on the ground. It looked like it had been dropped in place. This made me nervous and I never returned to that place. These events will not keep me from hunting. I'm just more curious and aware of my surroundings and always pack a 454 Castle. Makes me much less nervous. Below is the document for your amusement. All right, here we go. October 20th, 6:15 p.m., Clark County, Idaho, 2015. Observed two Bigfoot walking up the trail that I was hunting on. My father, brother, and I were camped at the head of the swampy draw on Pleasant Valley Creek during the cow elk muzzleloader season. Camp location, and he puts down the GPS location. I don't need to share it. 16 miles away from Dubois, Idaho, as the crow flies. 25 driving miles east of Pleasant Valley Road near Interstate Highway 25. South on the highway, past Spencer, then on to Dubois, Idaho. The camp was at 7,054 feet elevation. Generally, topography is pine-covered mountainsides with grassy, mixed alder brush and sagebrush valley floors. We've been hunting elk and deer for 5 days and saw lots of deer on the hillside above camp, 250 yards away from the rangefinder, and a few elk. After spending days around the area, we decided to hunt the deer right at camp. My father's 83 and walks with a cane, so he hunts close to camp. For the evening hunt, my father walked up the hill behind camp, 100 yards, and 100 yards, my brother positioned himself a few hundred yards along the base of the hillside. I decided to take my ATV up Swampy Draw and sit at the head of it for the evening. That day, we'd have a fairly large area covered. Swampy Draw has an old logging road right up the middle of it, but the access from Pleasant Valley is difficult. I managed to get up the road on my ATV, leaving camp at 2:30 p.m., as I wanted to be in hunting position early and let the area quiet down way before prime hunting hours. Prior to the night hunt, I explored a skid road that climbed the east side of the draw and hooked northward to the cord camp. The climb disturbed the area, so I headed back down to the main logging road, then turned up the head of the Swampy Draw and positioned myself for the evening hunt. At 6:15, I saw two figures coming up the trail towards me, approximately 200 yards. I thought it was two hunters that were blowing my evening hunt, but as they came into full view, I saw they were black in color. Most hunters in the area have some sort of blaze orange on them or dressed in camo. These figures were not dressed. They were walking side by side, and I suspect they were a male and female pair, although the distance was too great to identify sex. I estimate the height of one approximately 8 feet and the other 7.5 feet tall. I could not see any facial features at my observation distance. My overall impression was that they were incredibly tall and rather slender. As they saw me, they turned to my left and disappeared into the timbered hillside. As they turned and walked into the timber, I saw very long arms, almost to the knees. They swung the arms in fairly long arcs as they walked, much like a human power walker. It was then that I remembered that I had left my .454 Castle pistol in camp and on had the single shot .54 cal muzzleloader with me. Oversight I will never duplicate. The whole sighting took approximately 20 seconds. Since the creatures were between myself and camp with only one way out, I waited 10 minutes for them to hopefully clear the area. I put my rifle across my lap and headed back to camp. Distance to camp was only a bit over half a mile. Halfway to camp, I came across a roadblock in the trail in a small creek that had not been there when I came in. The creatures had picked up a large log and placed it in the creek to block my way. As it was getting dark, with a bit of adrenaline and heavy-handed throttle, I managed to climb my ATV over the smaller end of the tree. The next day, I went back to the barricade, only to find that during the night, these creatures had improved on their efforts and completely blocked the trail with additional logs and stumps. See the pictures. The logs they placed in the trail were too heavy for three men to pick up, and I could find no evidence of dragging. They were picked up and carried, an enormous feat. To make the story a bit weirder, my father kept talking about a stick for that some kids must have been made about 200 yards from camp in the base of the hill. My brother said it must have been made by some Boy Scouts, but nobody used the area. I went and found the stick structure, and it was clearly evident that it was not man-made. The main structure tree was pulled down in an arc, and no three men could have had the strength to perform that task. Masses of sticks were then woven into the frame to produce a hollow area approximately 6 feet by 12 feet. See attached picture. My father said it looked like it had been recently used. I think the course of events were as follows. I came up the logging road on my ATV, explored the spur road that climbed up over the toward camp, and close above the stick structure. I disturbed the creatures and they built the barricade. Then they came up the road and showed themselves to me as if to say, hey, we're here and you should not be. I never went past the barricade again. When I took the pictures, I looked very closely for footprints, but could not find any clear prints in the hard, gravelly ground. Of note, the evening of the sighting, my brother and father counted over 30 deer on the hillside in the area of the structure. After my sighting, we saw no more deer during the 4 days we continued hunting. Also, during the night, I heard my horse trailer tack door open and shut, which I thought was odd. I stored the camp food in the tack room, and nothing was missing. I know I had the door slightly shut in case the odd bear wandering into camp. I know I had the door tightly shut in case the odd bear wandering into camp. It takes fingers to work the latch, and the door was not latched when I found it in the morning. The other pictures of green, broken, and stacked pine limbs were taken by me during an elk hunt in the Caribou Mountains, some 30 miles from the west side of Grand Teton Mountains in Wyoming. Pictures are from the Idaho side. I walked into this, for lack of a better word, nest while exploring a drainage for elk. The area is very remote, has never been logged. I saw nobody in the area during the 10 days I was there. If you blow up the picture, you can see a human-like track, especially the toe imprints. My own boots did not leave tracks on the forest floor. I think that I disturbed a creature in the building process and it took off. The size of the branches that were twisted and broken off were way too big for any human to break, not to mention that it was green, fresh branches, which are harder to break than dry wood. Yep, crazy as it sounds, Bigfoot is real. Seeing is believing. Keep your powder dry and your nose into the wind. Craig Anderson, exploration geologist, retired, Eagle, Idaho. P.S. Feel free to use my names. I'm too old to give a shit what anyone else thinks. Okay, Craig. Thank you very much for that informative, detailed email, man. Well, that's getting dark, eh? That's weird. That's strange. The blockade things happen dozens of times. But it's kind of weird, though. It's weird how they do it. Because you would think that they would wait for your ATV to get out of there, and then they block them coming back in. I mean, why would they want to block you in, right? It doesn't make sense. But anyway, I didn't have the photographs copied in this message. These are from my notes, so hopefully I can dig up your email and see if I can. The internet connection at home sucks, so a lot of these messages that come in, the photographs that are in them just take forever to download. And of course, me and my impatience, I'll just copy and paste the text and carry on to the next email and probably tell myself to go back and get the pictures later. So if I did manage to get the photographs, I'll add them into this shared email with all you guys for certain. But anyways, take note of that, you guys. If there's anything you can learn from this email, it is to take note of the hints that they give you, that they're not pleased with you being around there, all right? I guess if you persist in hanging out, they'll probably ramp up the indicators they don't want you around too, right? So, but anyway, there you go. There's another one. It's not going to end. God only knows what this year is going to bring, right? Who knows what's coming.